everlasting, never failing. Man, our God is good. Thank you, Steve, for leading us into worship today, and thank you for inviting me into your household, for inviting us into your home, onto your screen. And isn't it good to know that with all the change going on in this world, our God will never change. And man, we've experienced some massive change, haven't we? I mean, 1 minute we're headed one direction, and then the next minute, just out of the blue, everything changes. We're looking ahead towards opening day of baseball and doing normal stuff like going to see a movie in a theater or gathering for church, and just like that, everything has been flipped upside down. Our morning commute all of a sudden turns into Zoom calls. Instead of bus rides and bag lunches, we're becoming teachers and principals. And man, we're eating at home, we're staying put, we're staying in place, we're social distancing. I mean, this everything is just swirling around us, and there's been so much change. And listen, I know that you're eager to get back to normal, right? I'm eager to get back to normal. Can I get an amen? If you're eager to get back to normal, just turn to someone, give them a high five or a fist bump, or just give them a wave if you got to keep your distance there. But I want to say, hey, listen, there's been some change, but let's not rush back to the way things were when this is all over. I mean, some things we want to see come back to normal, but some things I want to see stay. I want to see some of these changes stick. Because God's done some unique stuff in this time, and we're seeing him show up in powerful ways. There's a new thing unfolding, even in the midst of this crisis. I was reflecting on a passage from Isaiah in chapter 43. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Oh, I love that. A way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. Sure, we're all feeling right the wasteland and wilderness feel right now. But in the midst of it, God is doing a new thing. Now, he's not causing this pain, this crisis, but in the midst of it, in the desert, in the wasteland, there's new life springing up. I mean, there's some stuff that just isn't right in this time. Like, for one, I'm making a video to an empty room. I want to see you here. I mean, there's our stock market plunging. There's the pain of people getting sick and dying. And then there's headline after headline. But in the midst of all of that chaos and change, there is some beauty emerging. And I would say some beauty emerging that I don't want to see it go away when we're come out on the other side of this. I mean, for one, there's a lot more time for family fun and silliness. Check out this clip. Like I should, been in the walk around the neighborhood, feeling blessed. And maybe you're not into TikTok, but maybe you are into game night like we have been. Or activities like this together. Our family, as we thought about the crisis, we made this a positive post-it note wall. And it's been fun to just think about all the positive things that have come even in this very difficult time. And we've done our fair share of this, and a good amount of this as well. And at just the right time, the house does quiet down, and there is some time where we get to do this, or perhaps this. And there's a healthy dose of chaos all around, for sure. Maybe your household feels a little more like this. But even in the chaos, when was the last time you got to go to church like this? God's making a way in the wilderness. I mean, there's life springing up in the midst of this crisis. So can we agree on this? When change happens, some things should not go back to normal. For example, like, think about how much we're valuing connection right now. I don't want to lose that. That the joy I get when I can log on to a Zoom call and see faces that I dearly love. I just love what Isaiah 43 says. I'm doing a new thing. Now, we just sang that God never changes. But he certainly does bring change. God brings change. And now I'm talking about the work of Jesus in our lives. I'm not talking about the crisis here in this moment. But when God changes something, here's the thing, we must not go back. Remember the people of Israel? God brought them into freedom. What did they want to do? They wanted to go back. They said, oh, we want to go back. No, when God changes something, we should not go back. I mean, this is the example, the hallmark of the ministry of Jesus. Jesus, when he walked onto this earth, he brought change. He brought a new way of relating to God. He brought a new way of relating to one another. He brought fresh understanding of what it means to worship. And because he came on this earth and brought all this change, we should not go back. He says, don't go back to the way it was. So remember the context of the Lord's Prayer? The whole of Matthew chapter 6 is a lesson on the changes that Jesus brings and his challenge to us to say, incorporate these changes into your life. Don't go back to the way it was. In verse 1, he says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others so you'll be seen by them. In verse 2, he talks about when you give to the needy, don't go announce it with trumpets and make a spectacle of yourself. That was pretty common then. And then in verse 5, he says, listen, even when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray in the synagogues and in the street corners and to be seen by everyone. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm ushering in a new day. I'm ushering in a new era. I'm ushering in a new way to live, and I'm going to teach you a new way to pray. This prayer is intended to teach us a new way to pray. Now, it's a good thing to recite the Lord's Prayer. Nothing wrong with that. But actually, it's not intended to just be a ritualistic thing that we do. It's intended to be a pattern of prayer that reminds us of a different way to live. It's a way to pray His change into our life. So today I'm going to filter the entire prayer through the lens of the final phrases of the Lord's Prayer. We find it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So those few phrases wrap up the Lord's Prayer. It's His kingdom, power, and glory. We're praying for deliverance from the devil, and we're asking God to lead us away from temptation. Specifically, the temptations that would lead us into sin if we fell under the weight of them, if we gave into them. So what's the big temptation that we're praying about? So the devil wants to tempt us. We're praying for deliverance from the evil one. He wants to tempt us to go our own way, to follow our will. So this is the idea. Jesus brings a new way. The whole of the Lord's Prayer is a different way to live. And we're praying, and specifically as we get to the end of this prayer, we're saying, God, we don't want to fall into that temptation. You've changed us, and we're not going back. In other words, lead me in a different way, your way. So here's five ways that this prayer leads us away from temptation, delivers us from the evil one, as we pray His change into our life. So the first two are connected as you start this prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The temptation is to view God as distant, as set apart, as some being that's far away, and only a very few select and holy people can connect with Him. But Jesus, He came as the incarnation. He's God in the flesh. He stepped out of heaven. He walked on this earth. He came near, and He teaches us to pray, Our Father. He's pointing to God's warmth, His personal nature, His presence in our life. It's a beautiful thing. He's our Father, and we're His children. I love the way Romans 8:15 says it, that we've been adopted as sons and daughters. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The idea of Abba is like daddy, so personal, so intimate. So even as we start this prayer, we pray, deliver us from the devil that would say that God is far off, that he doesn't care about me. Our God is near. So the second temptation is tied to the first. God's come near, but as C.S. Lewis puts it, he's not a tame lion. In other words, he's not our genie in the bottle where we just rub the lamp and poof, he gives us our wishes. Jesus reminds us that we must proclaim, hallowed be your name, for he's worthy to receive glory and honor and power. So the temptation is to see God as small and under our control. And the devil would tempt us into believing that he would do our bidding. But no, God is holy. He's unique. He's set apart. He is superior in every way. So we pray, deliver us from the temptation that puts you under my control. For there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. And so we begin this Lord's Prayer, and we think of the nearness of God and the holiness of God. And the third change that we want to invite into our life, that we want to live out, is that it's God's will. And so we pray, your will be done. So the devil wants to tempt us that we should make our plan reign. Like we should pray, God, my will, you bless it. But God says, no, I'm inviting you to pray God's will to be done through you. So this prayer, it reminds us that it's God's plan. It's not our plan. And to do his will, we need to invite him to submit to his leadership in our life. So Lord, it's your plan. It's your way. Your will be done. And so deliver us from the enemy who would say, my kingdom come, my will be done. Instead, we pray, not my will be done. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. And God's kingdom has come and is coming. This week is a perfect reminder of that. Today is Palm Sunday. It's the day that Jesus was ushered into the city of Jerusalem. Crowds of people were forming a royal procession, laying down these palm branches as he rode into town. It was just kind of an ancient red carpet that they did, a sign of royalty coming into the city of Jerusalem. And it was on that day that many of the prophecies were fulfilled. In fact, you know, throughout the ministry of Jesus, there were over 300 prophecies that were fulfilled, and several on that very start of Passion Week were fulfilled. One of them is found in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey. Imagine that scene. Everyone out of their house, crowds of people traveling into town, folks from all over the land coming in, filling up the hotels and motels, and streets were crowded and people are around. There was a buzz in the city because the people were gathering for the Passover celebration, a 7-day festival that looked back at the history of Israel, specifically of the time when Moses led the people to freedom. It was just after the plagues, if you remember this, that God said, okay, now's the time. And he said, I'm going to bring this angel of death into the land. And anyone who covers their household, their door frames, with the blood of the lamb will be spared. The blood of the lamb will provide for the salvation of my people. And so there's this great celebration of the salvation that came through the blood of the Lamb. So this nation, so Jerusalem was gathered together, all the people were gathered together, and something miraculous happened. The Lamb of God arrives again, bringing salvation to the people. John records it this way in chapter 12 of his gospel. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. The great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem. So they took palm branches out and they met him shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. And Jesus is ushered into town. And when Jesus comes to town, everything changes. So the Passion Week marks the journey to the cross. And next Sunday, we're going to celebrate the resurrection. It's Easter Sunday next week. Now, we're not going to be able to do it together in this space, but we're going to be together, heart and mind and spirit. We're going to be united as his body, celebrating new life in Christ, celebrating victory over death and the grave. And church, you're not going to want to miss next Sunday's service. We're just going to celebrate God's goodness as the church scattered throughout this region. The resurrection just ushers in his kingdom. What a picture of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come. And so we are praying this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and we're just remembering that God is near, our Father, and he's holy. Yes, he's near, but he is also set apart. Hallowed be your name. And we're praying, it's your kingdom come, it's not my kingdom. And fourth, Jesus then becomes our provider. So the devil will tempt us to think that we got this, that we can do this on our own. But God wants us to depend on him for everything. In other words, he wants us to go to him needy, like kids would go to their parents. Now, parents, you're probably experiencing this right now, right? I mean, like, all day long, your kids are needing you, and more so now than ever. Your little infant, she's just crying. She needs your comfort. Your five-year-old, he needs to find that other shoe that he lost. Your teenager is looking for encouragement and for the remote and for the charging cable and for the shirt they're missing and for their sweatshirt. You know, like it's just, in some ways it's like, mom, dad, rah, 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 you know, just a constant thing. But honestly, as parents, we're happy to meet their need. We want to meet their needs, because it's in us as parents to love in that way. Jesus illustrates this in a parable. He says, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? And so as we pray the Lord's Prayer and we get down to this phrase, we're praying, deliver us from the evil one who's saying to us, really, you don't need God. You can do this on your own. And we need to resist the temptation to go it alone. We need to come to the Lord needy, depending on him for everything. And fifth, we pray, deliver us from the evil one who would tempt us to think that we don't need our debts forgiven. Only God alone can forgive our sin and remove our guilt. And without his forgiveness, we're powerless to truly forgive others. So we might find temporary comfort in positive thinking, but nothing wipes the slate clean like a God who has the power to remove the weight and the consequence of our sin. I love how Psalms 103 says, he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. I asked Danelle to just share her testimony of forgiveness. Listen to the power that the Lord brings into her life as he changed the course of her life.
Hey guys, these are some really crazy and trying times that we're living in right now, aren't they? I mean, just unprecedented. For many of us, there's an undercurrent of anxiety brewing on a daily basis. There's just so many unknowns out there that it can be really nerve-wracking. And so, in the middle of this storm, I want to share with you a message of hope. Let me tell you a little bit about my story. There was a time in my life when I was distraught, lonely, broken, self-absorbed, and self-destructive. I felt so discouraged and empty on the inside, but it was the only life that I knew. So I just figured, I guess this is all there is, or it just must be my lot in life. I couldn't imagine life being any different. And then I found Jesus and I chose to follow him. He turned my life around and he healed me from the inside out. Today, I have new meaning and purpose in my life. I have a new hope and one that's not dependent on circumstances in life. So even in the midst of a storm, I have an anchor that grounds me. My boat doesn't drift that far, and even if it does, Jesus is that anchor that reels me back in and gives me that supernatural peace. In hindsight, before I knew him, I was living in bondage. But today, I'm free. Because how many of you know who the sun sets free is what? Free indeed.
Thank you, Danelle, for sharing your story with us. It's such a good reminder that Jesus brings change into our life. What we were is no longer who we are, and we're never going back. When change comes, when God brings change, we're not going back. We're going to live out this new life. We're going to step into the new direction He brings. And the Lord's Prayer, it's a reminder of that for us. It's a reminder that Jesus brought a different way to live. He brought a different way to connect with God. He was standing against the norms of society, and he ushered in this change. And with His change, he declares, don't ever go back to the old way. Love how Paul writes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, reminds us to stand on that truth. May we never be as we once were, for we're made new in Him. So church, I want to invite you to pray this Lord's Prayer afresh today as a reminder that God is bringing new life into us. And so would you pray this with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.